Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who came to earth in the most humble manner possible. We praise you for his love and his mercy and his grace that he showered upon us in everything that he did, leaving the glories of heaven, being born here in such a fashion, growing up as a man among us, the God-man, living a perfect life that he could be the sacrifice for us, take our sins upon himself and die for the sins of the world, that to all who will believe on him, they might receive eternal life. Father, we thank you again for this time of year and for the privilege to remember our Savior and to honor him by singing songs about him and about his coming. And we pray that as we meditate on him yet again today, that we would be moved by your Spirit to serve more faithfully, to reach out to more people with the gospel, to be your servants in joy and rejoicing for all you have done for us and the new hearts and the new lives you've given us. Father, we commit this hour to you. We pray that everything that is said and done will bring honor and glory to your name and to the name of your Son, Jesus. Bless Pastor as he brings the word. Fill him with your Spirit. Speak the message to each of us that you have given him to share today. And we pray that our hearts will be open to receive it. You know what each of us needs. If we need to be comforted and encouraged, we pray that we will receive that from your hand. If we need to be challenged, or we need all of these things, that we will receive what you have for us and not rebel or resist. Father, we see so many who turn away from you, who turned away from Jesus, even though he showed himself true, proved himself who he was. But we pray that in our hearts we would respond with joy and faith and obedience to do what you call us to do. Father, it is truly a joy to be together, and we pray that you would bless each heart here today as we worship. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today as we think once again of our Lord Jesus Christ as he began to grow, getting a little older now, and we just pray that you'll help us to understand who he was and what he has done for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are still living today and that you live in our hearts as well. And we pray that you'll help us that we might be faithful to you and do your will in all things. We just thank you for your goodness and grace to us. We pray for each and every one who is here this morning. Lord, you know our hearts. And we pray that you know our needs. And we ask you to help us, please. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would work in every heart and life. If there's anyone here who's never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Redeemer, we pray that this would be the day of salvation for that person. And we pray for any others who are listening over the internet or wherever. We pray your blessings upon them as well. We ask you to be with those who are ill today, that you would undertake and meet their needs. We think of Donna especially. We pray for her and for Roy and for others, for Lucy's brother. And we just ask you, Lord, to work in their hearts and meet their needs today. We do want to thank you, our Father, for the freedom that we enjoy. We can come together to worship you without being disturbed. Thank you, Lord, that we live in a free country, and we pray that it might always remain so. We look to you with thanksgiving for all of your goodness and grace to us. Help us to walk in fellowship with you and do your will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me once again to Matthew chapter 2. It's a passage of scripture that usually we read during the Christmas season. Thought we'd share this with you this morning. But it actually refers to a later period in the life of Jesus, as you know. It speaks of him here as a young child. He's no longer the babe in the manger. And I know a lot of times people say, well, you know, the wise men did not come to the manger. Well, we know that, right? They came to the house where Jesus was. I wanted to read this a little devotion here at the beginning. We were waiting for the days of praise. I know Rick Metz kept saying to me, where are the days of praise? Peggy says, where are the days of praise? And we didn't get them until the 20th of December. But this is on Christmas Day. It has here, referring to verse 11. It says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now this is by Dr. Morse, wrote this devotional. He says, "These wise men, or magi, were of great eminence in the Parthian Empire at that time, and it is unlikely that the caravan from the east consisted of only three men. They were more likely had a large entourage as they came searching for the future king of Israel. So it was small wonder that all Jerusalem was troubled, along with King Herod. The Parthians or Persians had never been conquered by the Romans, and at that very time were posing a significant threat along the eastern boundary of the extended Roman Empire. When they found the young child and his mother in Bethlehem, the Magi fell down and worshipped him." But why did they offer him just three gifts? And why these three gifts? Somehow they seem to have sensed, possibly from meditating deeply on the ancient prophecies of Balaam from Numbers chapter 24, or from Daniel in chapter 9, which we're going to have next week in Sunday school, right? And David concerning the priesthood order of Melchizedek from Psalm 110. That this young child, whose birth had been announced by a star, was destined not only to be the king, but would also become the messianic sacrifice to make reconciliation for iniquity, and then eventually become our eternal high priest, who ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thus, the gold would acknowledge his right to reign. The frankincense would speak of the incense to be offered in the heavenly tabernacle. And the myrrh would testify that his crucified body would be so anointed as it entered into the tomb for a very temporary burial. So I thought that was pretty good, thinking of all of that was going on there in Bethlehem, rather, at that time. These wise men came from the east, and we don't know for sure who they were. Apparently, they were astrologers. We call them the Magi, and perhaps they were under Daniel back at one time. He was the head of the wise men of Babylon at one time, and they no doubt learned from him, as we read here in this little devotional. But they were not Jewish people. They had no background as far as the Abrahamic covenant or anything like that. They didn't enter in. They were not part of God's chosen people. And yet, God spoke to them in a different way, didn't he? He spoke to them in a way that they understood. These were men who studied the heavens. They studied the stars. And so God gave them a special star to follow, didn't he? Yeah. It's wonderful. You know how God does that. He leads us in the way of our own understanding, right? Whatever it is that we are particularly concerned about, God can use that to lead us and help us. We here in our country, of course, have the Word of God, and certainly that is our primary source, isn't it? For coming to know the Lord Jesus is through his word and through the efforts of others to proclaim the word and get it into our hearts and minds. But God can use that, and whatever our particular interests might be oftentimes, or what leads us in the way to come to know him. These wise men somehow they knew that the king was going to be born. They saw this particular star. Now, where did the star come from? We don't know. As I said, one of the prophets had mentioned this, Balaam, the prophet, Numbers 24. Let's take a look at that for a second. I think I referred to it, but Leviticus, Numbers 24 and verse 17. Let's see. What does it say? 24:17. I should have put my bookmark here. Here we go. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, he says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Okay, that I realize that may be a little bit ambiguous to us as we see these different things and have to explain all that. But what he's saying here, there's going to be a star coming up out of Jacob, and it refers to a king. The scepter shall rise out of Israel. So this is what they were going by, along with the teachings of Daniel and others, that they would be able to recognize when the Messiah, the Christ, was to come into the world. So this, no doubt, when Jesus was born, or about to be born, this star appeared. We don't know what it was. You know, people try to come up with all kinds of ideas about what this might have been. You know, two planets coming together, or comets, or whatever. But we don't know. Anyway, God gave them an indication that this is the time that things are going to change. We're going to have come out of the Old Testament period into the new, right? We're going to come out from B.C. to A.D. Here we are. Jesus is coming into the world. And they saw the star, and then they followed it. Now, how long did it take them to come? We don't know. They had slow travel back in those days, you know. There was no high-speed highways or anything like that, and they had to ride probably on camels. At any rate, we find them coming. And they told King Herod, when they had first seen the star, he told them here. And then later, you remember what he did? When he was upset and realized that they had tricked him, he had all of the children, boys I would presume, I don't know, maybe all of them. But anyway, 2 years old and under. I guess he wanted to make sure that he got the right one. But apparently this is what the wise men told him. So did it take them 2 years to travel? I don't know. But anyway, we know it wasn't, they didn't come to the manger. They came to the house. It says that these wise men came from the east. And notice it says, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now you see, that got Herod's attention right away, because he was under the impression he was the King of the Jews, you know? So who is this one that's coming to usurp the authority? King Herod was very upset about this. And they came and said, we have seen his star in the east and are come, what does it say? To worship him. They knew that he was someone extremely special. The King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. They're going to bow down and worship him. So they follow the star and the light that God gave to them to find Christ. You know, that's what we have to do too. We have to follow the light that God gives to us. When he shows us the way of salvation, we need to receive it, right? We need to put our faith and trust in Christ and receive him as our Lord and our Savior. Call upon him and ask him to come into our hearts and to save us from our sins. So they followed along the star until they came. And notice they didn't go to Bethlehem. So they didn't have a complete knowledge. They were going step by step, right? As best as they knew. And at one time, lo and behold, it says the star disappeared. Uh-oh. Now they're on their own, right? They were following this star, and all of a sudden, it's gone. Where are they supposed to go? Well, they are looking for the King of the Jews, so where would you find the King of the Jews? Jerusalem, right? That's what they thought. So they went to Jerusalem, and were looking there, and, you know, as I said, the must have been a great commotion, because, you know, we always sing We Three Kings, but it's more, much more than three kings or three wise men or whatever you want to call them. There must have been a large number of them, and they caused a lot of commotion. And now the king found out about it, King Herod, and he says, bring him in here so we can find out what it is that they're doing and where they're going and all this. So finally he figures out, hey, this is has to do with the prophecies from the Old Testament, right? The book of Isaiah, where he talked about the king coming, the Messiah is going to be born, and all of that. And so he calls in the scribes and the people that have studied the scriptures, and he says, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? He didn't seem to know, right? But they said, oh yes, we know. They said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now this comes from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. There were more than one Bethlehem. So he's explaining here. It was in Judah. You're not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And see, in the beginning, Matthew is writing about the king, right? The king of the Jews. And so here, this all has to do at the beginning with Israel and with him being the king in the line of King David. But also, he is the Savior that Luke tells us about. The Savior that will take away our sins and give us eternal life. So Herod got the told the wise men where to go, and they started out. And then, lo and behold, the star came again and led them to Bethlehem. And it says it stood over the house where the young child was. Now, what kind of a star would that be? Yeah? How many stars have you seen that would indicate a house? You know, this is God's direction, right? He's making it very specific to them now, where to go, and they are following the star and doing exactly what he would want them to do. So the wise men come, and then it says, why did they come? They came to worship the Lord Jesus. They came to bow down before him. Here in, it says, first of all, when they saw the star in verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You can see these men, they had been traveling a long, long distance, and all of a sudden they get the impression that they're near where they're supposed to go. Right? The star is back. Hey, God has shown the light, so to speak, so that we can follow the star and find the child. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Do you notice that? They worshipped him, Jesus. They did not worship Mary or Joseph. They worshipped Jesus. He is the one, because we are only to worship God, right? The scripture tells us that. There's one God that we worship, and Jesus is his name, right? Jesus is God himself, incarnate, in the flesh. He came down from heaven to be with us and to provide salvation for us. So they bow down, and then they open up their treasures and they give these three gifts. The three gifts that we see here, gold, of course, is the most precious mineral, a metal that they knew, at least at that time, the metal of kings. They were worshiping him as the king, the one who is in charge. He is the Lord of all. And then frankincense was used in the offerings, right? This has to do with his priesthood. It speaks of Christ, our great high priest, who offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. You know, it's something about Jesus that's different than all the other priests, right? He is the high priest. He's also the offering. You know, he gave himself, sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God to take our sins away. And Paul tells us that we should present our bodies in that way as a living sacrifice to the Lord, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So just as Jesus gave himself for us to save us, we should give ourselves to him. Not that we can save anybody, but I mean, you know, for service, that we might be able to serve the Lord faithfully and proclaim him to others. And then the other one, myrrh. You might wonder, what is myrrh? It's something that's used in embalming, right? Has to do with death. Why in the world would they be giving a gift about death to a young child? Well, we know somehow in their studies they had learned about the Messiah and what was going to happen. Daniel tells us that the Messiah is going to be cut off, right? He's going to die. And so this myrrh has to do with his death. And it was a very costly substance. And they offered this to him in thinking about what he's going to do in his death. And remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they offered him myrrh, wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. See? So this has to do with his death. So the wise men gave Jesus the best that they had. They gave him that which he needed, and it speaks to us, I guess, that, you know, we need to give our best to him, right? Just like they did. Whatever we can, we have, that's useful, we should offer to the Lord and allow him to use us as his servants. So anyway, we find here that they offered him the very best that they had, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, recognizing who he was, the king, the high priest, and the sacrifice for our sins. So we find here then the wise men are warned of God. Notice God is overlooking all of this. You know, that's the wonderful thing is you read through the scriptures, you find God's always in the background somewhere, right? I was thinking, in Esther, his name's not even mentioned in the book, and yet he works everything out for the best for the people of Israel. And here we find that the wise men finish what they're doing, and then they are warned of God in a dream to not return to Herod, because God knew what he was up to, right? He had no intention of coming to worship the Savior. He wanted to destroy him so that he might continue on with his own rulership. So anyway, we find they go back the other way. This is an interesting thought. They departed into their own country another way. I like to think, when you come to Jesus, from one way, you don't go out the other. You don't go out the same way you came, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You have a new life in Christ. And no doubt these men, I don't think they could ever forget this experience and what they were doing in coming to see the King and to worship Him, to know Him, and to serve Him. So anyway, we find this warning God gives to them, and so they go home another way to live their lives. And then the angel of the Lord comes and warns Joseph, the one who, the earthly father of Jesus, the legitimate, legal father of Jesus, and tells him in a dream, "Arise and take the young child and flee into Egypt, because the king is going to try to kill him." Right? So they see another warning here that God gives to them. And so they arise up and they go to Egypt to fulfill the scripture. It says, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Now you remember the scripture there has a double meaning, because Israel was called out of Egypt, you remember. They were slaves in Egypt, and God allowed Moses to bring them out and to give them the promised land. And here, Jesus is going to come back from Egypt back to Israel to save his life. So God is working in a very special way meet the need of all of these people, and to save Jesus from any difficulty. So then Herod, as we saw, was offended, upset, enraged because of the wise men not coming back to him, and so he has his soldiers go and kill all the children 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had asked the wise men. So that was a terrible time. Think of that. People are so cruel sometimes, right? These people that think that they are in charge and that they are able to do whatever they please, I can just wonder how God would work in someone's life like that, that just has no regard for the life of others, just wants his own way no matter what. And this was a very cruel man. He had even killed members of his own family in order to keep them from taking his place as the ruler. So anyway, we see here Rachel weeping for her children. You can imagine, I don't know how many children there would have been. From there in Bethlehem at that time and in the area, but no doubt quite a number. And here we see these mothers and no doubt their family members, weeping, wailing because of the death of these children, innocent babes, innocent children that did nothing wrong. They just got in the way of the king, right? You know, I can't help but think, in our situation here in this country, we've seen so many innocent children killed for no other reason than the fact that they are in the way. Someone just thinks, you know, I can't afford this child, or something of that nature. And our laws are such that permit these things to happen. And it's a horrible, evil thing, isn't it? And I know the Supreme Court has been considering some of these rules and laws and so forth about abortion. And may God see fit to allow them to outlaw this terrible practice so that these little children might continue to live and to bring joy to their families. Anyway, that's just an aside note. But we find here God directing and leading. Herod died, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again in Egypt. He's giving him here directions and telling him, okay, you can return to Israel now. The king is dead. The wicked witch is dead, right? Is that what it said? Okay. Anyway, a wicked person. He's gone, so you can freely go back now. And so they pack up and go back to Israel. And they find out that his son is ruling in his place, so they are a little bit afraid to go back to Judea. And so they go to Galilee, to the town of Nazareth. But this also fulfills Scripture, because it says, he shall be called a Nazarene. That is, that he would be from the little town of Nazareth. And so you see how God directs, how he works, and how he these wise men who came to worship the Lord Jesus. Here we see the scriptures being fulfilled. And God led the wise men by a star. He led Joseph through special dreams. And today he leads us, as I said, through his word and by his Holy Spirit, and leads us in the way we ought to go. So we're greatly privileged to be able to read and study God's word and to come into his presence in prayer at any time. You know, he welcomes us, doesn't he? And he's always there whenever we need him, in any time. It's all possible because of what Jesus did in coming to earth and in living his life and going to the cross and taking our sins upon himself, that we might be able to receive him as our Lord and Savior and have eternal life. What a wonderful God we serve. You know, he's always faithful in every way. And he was not content to see us die in our sins, but he provided the way of salvation that we might be able to be with him throughout eternity. So praise his holy name. Our Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. We just pray that we will learn these lessons from the wise men and from this part of the scriptures, that we might truly walk in fellowship with you and do your will. Again, I pray for anyone who may not be saved today, that they might come to know you in a personal way and have eternal life and have the peace of God that passes all understanding in their hearts. May your holy will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.